Hi, I'm Patrick Kagan, your host for Sales Hindsights, a podversation that combines my 30-plus years of experience with the expertise of my guests, and trust me, all of them will amaze you. Now, it's been said that hindsight is 20/20 vision, so my guests and I are charged with answering one thing for you. Knowing what we know now, what best practices and takeaways have the last 30 years in sales, sales management, executive leadership, and entrepreneurship provided to us that you can take with you. So enjoy the listen as we conversate for your growth. Okay, so thank you for tuning into our podcast, Sales Hindsights. Just by tuning in, you are already getting ahead in the process of self-improvement. Now, during our conversation, you will discover that we make sales make sense. But we go beyond that. We tackle issues dealing with management, leadership, team building, self-confidence, entrepreneurship, and yep, life itself. So our goal will be to make it all make sense, and we do it with a very practical and easy to understand approach. We give you the nuggets that you get to carry with you each day, and when life throws a challenge your way, you're going to have the confidence to reach down in your pocket, pull out that nugget, and you'll know exactly what you're supposed to do. You're going to find almost every resource you need at our website, pksolutionsgroup.com, for you to become the best version of your own professional self. So visit PK Solutions Group today. There's also a link to my calendar in the podcast show description. So set up some time with me if you find there is more you need to unpack in your own professional life. And finally, thank you for all the likes, shares, and follows. It makes a huge difference. It allows us to continue bringing you great content and great guests. And joining me today is a guest. Her name is Darlene Pradé. And Darlene is the CEO of a company called DP Consults. And she's been in leadership roles for the last 25 years. And what I like about Darlene, besides liking Darlene, is the fact that she coaches coaches, but she takes a very unique approach. She coaches folks who are in the world of sales, and yet they probably have a negative perception of what being in sales is. It's got that sleazy, you know, reputation, and she coaches them through that perception and to high levels of success. So welcome to our conversation, Darlene.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to have you here. So tell us just a little bit about DP Consults and the whole idea of how you discovered folks that are in selling, but really look at it like a sleazy occupation.
Yeah, so I work with entrepreneurs. I'm the director of business development for Peachtree VAs, and we support busy leaders, entrepreneurs with quality assistance. In talking to my clients, which were mainly, like, I have a lot of business coaches, a lot of small businesses, solopreneurs, they were doing everything. As you know, they wear all the hats. And where they were always struggling is they loved what they did. They had an amazing offering, and the sales cycle was constantly, they were hitting a brick wall. They didn't like it. They felt like it was inauthentic. They felt like they didn't want to peddle their wares to everyone. So I kept seeing the need again and again, and I started the company to really empower and equip people to be their authentic self and to switch the mind shift from sales to really just sharing what they do.
Well, I love that because, you know, you've had 25 years in leadership, so you know what it means to lead. And you touched on something really, really critical, which I preach to all my clients when I'm coaching them, especially when it comes to solopreneur, entrepreneur type ventures, is identify a problem and then have a solution for that problem. And you're running into it all the time. And I like, you know, people talk about being authentic all the time. And you're running into customers who are making a living inauthentically. They are doing a job, but there's something subconsciously driving them to feel that this is taking long, or this I'm pushing something. Maybe people don't like it. So there's a lot of psychology of selling and leading that goes into that. So I know that what you really hone in on are really two areas that we're going to dig into. The first is relational sales, and the second is empathic selling, being, you know, having empathy at the forefront of selling. How do you help folks shift their mindset? Because this is really a mindset. Like, if you see yourself as pushing goods, then you're not really solving problems. How do you help people get to that solution mindset as opposed to that bully mindset?
Well, I have a pretty extensive discovery call to see if they're even the right person to work with me. I want to make sure I can help them. I want them to understand how I work and make sure that I'm the right solution for them. So in doing that, I am able to really customize their approach. There's a lot of great sales coaching videos and programs and different things out there. But if it's not authentic to you, then you're kind of pushing yourself. You're making it inauthentic because you're like, okay, I have to say this by the end of the call. For example, I have a client that I just began working with. She was told from a sales coach, you have to get that deposit before you end the call. And it did not feel authentic to her. It came out awkward. And she was not seeing results because of it. Mm-hmm. So what I did was hear how she would just share her model with me. Okay, you're not selling me. Just tell me what you do. And we started developing different things that she could implement and do that with her clients and shifted from being a sales call to just having a discovery call. Here's what I do. What do you need? And it made her take that deep breath and be able to do it without having that pressure of, I have to get a credit card by the end of the call.
Right. Well, and that's such an important thing. I mean, when I think of authentic, I think of it like putting on, you know, trying on shoes. And that old saying of, if the shoe fits, wear it. There's a lot of shoes out there. There's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of coaching programs out there. There's a lot of tips and things like that. And being in sales is about building abundance, which has nothing to do with your paycheck. You're going to build a big paycheck, right? But you're not going to do it if you're insincere. So if you're thinking, get that credit card, and you ask for it at the wrong time when someone still has questions or whatever it would be, then that salesperson shows they don't know where they are in the sales process. And so the shoe didn't fit. You put on a shoe and you tried to make it fit, but it created pain for you and for the client. So I'm wondering if you have like a short list, like the top three things where, you know, I use the word infusing sincerity. Sincerity is authenticity. How do you infuse that into a sales situation so that someone realizes there's no rush to get to asking for that credit card? I'll get there. It may take 4 days. It may take 4 minutes. How do you help them infuse their own sincerity? If there's maybe top three things you could tell our listeners.
First of all, know your client. Know who your client is and who is not your client, because I think that really people sometimes operate with that scarcity mentality and they just want to bring in whoever they can. The wrong client, especially when you're coaching, the wrong client is more costly than not having a client at all. So really understanding who your client is and really understanding your value, because there's a million coaches out there. There's a million sales coaches out there. What do you bring to the table that is unique? What is your value and how can you, convey that? In doing so, think of every call as an investment. I look at every sales call I have that I am going to give that person some value, regardless if they use me today, use me a year from now, or never use me. When you approach it differently, that you're building these relationships, you're building this network versus are you closing a deal, that begins to build your funnel, build your sphere of influence to other people. And there are people that recommend me that I've never worked with directly, but they know how I operate and they can confidently refer me.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, my most recent publication is called Sell the Difference. It's about differentiation. And I've got two chapters in there. One is about knowing your value, which you mentioned, and the other is about an ideal client. And you know, to summarize, basically, if you don't know your value, your client will tell you your value, and it's not going to be what you think as a salesperson. So you have to know your value, but in a way that gives you confidence. And the other thing about you know, the idea of an ideal client. I think it's the difference, you know, when you talk about an ideal client, and then you ask people, where do they spend their time? They can describe what an ideal client is, but they don't spend their time there. So I always then illustrate to them, it's the difference between spending your time or investing your time. And if you know what an ideal client looks like, and then you find them, and then you spend all your day there, you're not wasting and spending, you're investing and getting the return on the reward. So what are the tips you have then for, like, when you talk to folks about ideal client and knowing your value, what do you tell them are the top things they should do?
Well, and I love what you said about investing versus spending, because that is so true. So, you know, look at your history. Who has worked? What are the clients that have just been, if you had every single client like that, it not only was successful, but it brought you joy. And it just was like, you know, it was really, really a good experience. So start identifying, because while some people serve a lot of different types of clients, you can see those threads. What is the commonalities between all these successes? Same with clients that didn't work. There's a lot of whys behind why things don't work. Was it on the client side? What did your processes need to be tightened up? You know, what didn't work? And if it's like everything that you're offering, there was nothing wrong with what you're offering, it was a wrong client, then you can start to see that thread too of, hey, it doesn't work for these certain industries or this certain type of people or whatever that may be. So you start formulating that. And sometimes with new businesses, that takes a while. You're never going to just have every perfect client or anything like that. And not to beat yourself up if you bring in the wrong client, is to learn from it. Learn as much as you can, because you know as well as I do, Patrick, every experience just adds to our toolkit. The bad ones, unfortunately, add more sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And when you talk about toolkits, and people have a lot of tools, excuse me, but sometimes they don't know how to use that tool, or they use it incorrectly. And that, which leads me to the opposite side of my question then. How do you tell people like this, or this is coming off insincere? What you're doing doesn't match what you're thinking, you know? And so what do you tell people like to self-check when you're not there to coach them? How do they self-check themselves so that when they do walk in with a client, they can be authentic and be sincere?
Yeah. So I like to have my clients record their sales calls. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes, I don't want to say nobody, but I don't like to hear myself on the sales calls or whatever, but that's how you learn. So if something didn't go right, sometimes the sales call, there's a lot of information you're covering, and you may get off and think it is fantastic. And then the person ghosts you, right? So listen to that sales call. See, okay, now that I'm not in the moment, critically, did I say something that turned them off? How did I end that call? Was there a call to action? Those types of things. So I teach them that method to be able to critically analyze their own calls. But I also, you know, for me, I have an option for, like, I call it rapid fire coaching, where if they go through the program and they want to just retain me, they can send me a sales call. They can say, hey, this is a new objection that I'm hearing that I never heard before. How do I overcome it? So if people need support, I'm there for them, or I empower them if they want to just do it on their own.
Yeah, that's good, because, I mean, the idea of onboarding is almost an obsolete idea, but the idea of ongoing sales performance improvement training is really a lost art, if you will. So I understand the benefit of relationship selling. You understand it. What is it that people aren't getting about that when they see sales as maybe not the career they want, and you're changing their mindset? How do you make relationships the forefront of solutions for them?
So it's back to that mind shift. So I think it's important, as you said, an investment. Look at every sales call as not a sales call, but an investment. Mm-hmm. Of your learning, you're making more connections, you're honing your craft. Even if you don't want to consider yourself a salesperson, I always joke and I was like, I'm the only salesperson that hates sales, right? I love connecting with people and I've been really, really successful, but I also go against the grain with a lot of the things that I do that is not like, it's almost counterintuitive. Some of the methods that I use, but how I just naturally operate. So I think it's a matter of just understanding that you don't have to be a salesperson to sell. It's part of our everyday life. We're always selling people, even if you're trying to convince your husband where to go to dinner, right? You're selling your idea.
Well, and that's exactly it. And I run into a lot of folks who say, I don't like rejection. And I'm like, okay, you're 38 years old. You're telling me you've never been rejected in your life? Of course you have. You just weren't getting a paycheck for it. You've been rejected. You've handled rejection. So I like to say that your energy introduces you long before you walk into a room, right? Your energy speaks. And, you know, you have a skill set you work on and develop with your clients about selling with empathy. And so if you're thinking that your career as a salesperson isn't, you know, it's pushy, it's negative, it's selling a product or, you know, whatever the negative connotations are, certainly that energy is going to be conveyed to the buyer. So how do you help people, you know, a technique or two that our listeners can listen to and go, oh, I could reverse this. How do you become empathetic with them, you know, feeling from their side to be a solutions provider?
So what I do is I do a lot of research on the person that I'm speaking with too. That empowers me because I've done it long enough to now understand like, okay, they're probably coming to me because of X, Y, and Z, right? But actively listening, having that conversation where you're letting your client do a lot of the talking. I always joke, it feels like a therapy session by the end of it, right? They're telling you what's frustrating you and, you know, what's frustrating them, where their problems are and everything like that. I don't use fear. I don't use like, if you don't use my solution, you're never going to succeed. That's ridiculous. But what I do is listen to them and then I know how I can help them. Mm-hmm. I convey that, but understand I may not be the full solution. So networking, and I have a trusted group of people that if I'm not the full solution or the right solution, I can at least give that person, hey, I can do this for you. This is how I operate. If you need this, then here are a couple of people you can connect with. So again, bringing value to that person, hearing them and having that conversation and building a relationship, building that trust. The goal of the sales call is to have them trust you versus make a sale.
Yeah. Trust is one of those things that once you build it, it's the most valuable thing that they've bought from you for no exchange of money. So I'd love to hear, maybe if you have, without sharing details about any specific person or industry, but do you have any success stories where you have someone who, entered with one mindset, you helped them with a different mindset, and they had a certain outcome. Could you share that?
Yeah. So I had a client recently. She is an incredible, and it's ironic because she is a mindset coach. Okay. She's fantastic at what she does. And this is something for everybody to understand that when it's close to you, it's a whole different ballgame. I can give the best advice in the world, and then when I have to implement it, it might be something different. So she was a mindset coach. She specifically targeted women who were in the midst of transitioning careers and different things like that. She reached out to me. She, you know, I was asking her, you know, what was the issue? She had built a business on referrals, but she wasn't following up with anyone. She felt like, if they said no, that was the end of it. And she was so defeated because she said, I just had three conversations this week and nobody wants to move forward. And that was it. And in her mind, she was doing something wrong. So what I did was, and there's a lot that goes into it, but specifically I had her look at those conversations like, again, there may be, if somebody's not for you, it's a no, whatever. Just chalk it up. Doesn't matter how good you are. If it's not for you, it's not for you, right? So taking that personal punch out of it, where if they're saying no. But if they're saying no, why are they saying no? Maybe it's down the road. Maybe they don't need you right now. Maybe they'll need you in the future. Maybe they don't need you, but they love what you do and they're going to refer people to you. So if you look at it in those three buckets versus just yes and no, it changes the landscape of what you are doing to sowing those seeds, investing, what you said earlier, and each one of those people are going to walk away with some investment that you made in them. That is going to come back at some point into your sales funnel, regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always just, you know, I'm echoing or building upon what you said. I always tell folks that every outcome it's not a beginning or an end. It's feedback. So what you did created data. Data gives you feedback. Feedback is fact. And no better way to build trust than, you know, go back and say, hey, Darlene, I'd love if you could help me as a salesperson. You know, clearly, this didn't happen for us right now. Can you tell me what factors led into that? And it's not saying, what did I do wrong? Didn't you like me? Could I have done better? You take the personal out and say, what factors could have changed to make the outcome different? And I think that builds trust when someone says, you know, that's pretty good. No, how often does somebody come back to a customer and say that? I didn't get the business, but I really want to get better at my job. And that's a way to build trust. That's part of what's, you know, my book is called Sell the Difference. So it's about differentiating. And I often am coaching people on how do you differentiate after you've air quote lost the sale? Because it's okay to lose a sale. Sometimes starting out negatively with a rejection is a great way to have an honest conversation after. And that's a great way to build trust. So I love what you're doing. Tell our listeners, so they're going to want to connect with you. What's the best way to connect with you so they can get involved in, you know, your qualification process and some of the great tools that you offer? What's the best way for our listeners to connect with you?
They can connect with me on LinkedIn, Darlene Priday, and it's DarlenePriday. I also have my website, dp-consults.com, and there's a form to fill out. And if you fill it out, I'll schedule a discovery call and see if I might be a good solution for your needs. And rest assured, if I'm not, I know somebody who will be.
Well, and that's what I like about you is that you aren't there for the quick sale. And also, you got 25 years of being in the front line and you choose to stay there. And that says something about you because nothing's better than real world experience when it comes to having a coach. So I would recommend everybody at a minimum get to dp-consults.com, connect with Darlene because she's very helpful. She's very sincere. She is what I call the living, breathing, authentic coach of coaches. So Darlene, thanks for your time today.
I appreciate it, Patrick. Thank you so much.
So that's it for this time. I hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation as much as I enjoyed participating in it. Every person, every business needs some help. Take the first step in your own world. Go to the show description, use the link to my calendar, and set up your own one-on-one time with me, or go to pksolutionsgroup.com for all your bonus resources. We all have choices, and I'm here waiting when you finally choose a different way, a better way. Until then, let me leave you with some wisdom from one of my favorite musical groups, Rascal Flatts. Simply put, my wish for you is that your life becomes all that you want it to be.